Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
At a table quiz, if the question is who designed the first working aeroplane, the answer is usually the Wright brothers. But that answer might be incorrect. According to a new book, it was Wilbur Wright who was the genius behind it all, while Orville Wright was a glorified assistant. The book is called Wright Brothers' Wrong Story, How Wilbur Wright Solved the Problem as Man Flight. And the author of the book, William Hazelgrove, is on the line. Afternoon, William.
Good afternoon.
Could you start by telling us something about the Wrights' home family life? Were they kind of somewhat insular from the people around them?
Oh, they were. The father was a bishop, and it was his admonishment that the world outside was evil. And so he told his two sons and his daughter, look, don't go out into the world. Stay at home. His wife had died, and he was traveling all the time, you know, for the church. So he wanted the home to be there when he got home. So Wilbur and Orville and Catherine all took this on, and this sort of began this whole thing of presenting a united front to the world outside. And they became so insular, they came up with, you know, special names for each other, and they all lived at the family home their entire life, except Catherine, of course, who, when she was in her late 50s, finally married. And just to jump ahead a little bit, Orville would never talk to her again when she did that.
Hmm. Did Wilbur, though, have an ambition to perhaps leave the family home, perhaps to study in a university?
He did. He was actually to go to Yale. But what happened was a man named Oliver Cruikshank, Wilbur was only 17, shattered his jaw, and he went into a three-year depression. And during that depression, he came up with this idea of wanting to crack flight, human flight. This is a guy who dropped out of high school. Both the brothers dropped out of high school. He had absolutely no training. But he, at this point, you know, he's almost an artist sort of ambition, his sort of raison d'etre to go solve this thing, but he had no training at all to do.
Mm. Was there any indications that Orville was going to go to university? And I'm really asking that question to ascertain, was he as bright as Wilbur was?
Yeah, you know, there wasn't. Orville was much more business orientated. He liked having the bike shop. They built a printing shop. You know, he was much more a man of business. Wilbur, you know, wrote to his father very early on, I don't like business. I like the life of the mind. You know, Wilbur had that spark of genius, you know, that overlooking view that would be required to do something as audacious as tackle human flight.
Now, I suppose the part of the reason why we say the Wright brothers is because Wilbur died quite young, and so it was left to Orville to tell the story, and he made the story out to be the Wright brothers. What evidence is there then, William, that's, if you like, counter to Orville's version of events?
Well, and as you well said, Fred Kelly wrote the first biography that laid that down. So Wilbur, after he was sick, he contacted the Smithsonian and said, send me anything you have. Then he contacted the National Weather Service and said, tell me where the winds are constant, which was Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Then Wilbur went and built a kite, a giant flying kite that was basically a wing. He took that outside of Dayton, and he tested a very important innovation called wing warping. We call those ailerons today. And he had come up with this whole concept, and it's basically where you warp the wings like a bird does to turn. And he proved it worked. Then Wilbur built the first glider, and then Wilbur went down to Kitty Hawk alone in 1900.
Now, yeah, and this is a very interesting thing. I hadn't realized this before. Wilbur had attempted flight many, many times.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, oh, yeah. When he was down there, Orville will not fly till 1902. Wilbur was gliding. Wilbur came up with this theory that flight was inherently unstable. Everybody else, a man named Langley, who was the Secretary of the Smithsonian, who was supposed to be the guy who would crack flight, he had $50,000 behind him. Langley and everyone else assumed flight was like a locomotive, that it goes down a track, it's inherently stable. Wilbur said, no, it's unstable, and you have to adjust for that. That's why he came up with the elevator, aileron, and rudder control, which is the basic operating system that is in every jetliner today.
Yeah, and he also seemed, because I think many people were experimenting with forms of propeller, And he seemed to realize that all those other propellers were wrong.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There was no data at all. So he has to build a propeller to develop thrust. So the closest model he can come up with is a boat propeller. Well, he takes that and then he comes up with the theory that a propeller is basically a flying wing. And so he has to do his own tests in a wind tunnel to figure out the thrust coefficients of what it would take to push a plane into the air. Now, guys like Langley made a basic assumption. He said, you know what? You build the plane, and if you build a really big engine, it will fly. And, of course, this was absolutely wrong because Langley's plane in 1903 went right down into the Potomac. But Wilbur knew that there was a model, and he's the one, and I'll segue a little here, he's the one who contacted Octave Chanute, who was the leading aeronautical scientist, and he and Wilbur traded 500 letters, and that's where they cracked the physics of flight that nobody else had done.
Then what did Orville do?
Orville was very mechanically gifted. When he worked with Wilbur, he would implement a lot of his ideas. He was a sounding board of sorts. But when you read the papers of Wilbur and Orville Wright, the real sounding board was Octave Chanute. This is where he really went into, you know, the stratosphere of unknown, you know, data, because nobody had figured out the lift coefficients of a wing up till then. People were making basic assumptions that if you curved the wing, it would have lift and take off, but the coefficients were all wrong. This is why all these men kept killing each other. And that, by the way, was one reason Wilbur went to Kitty Hawk, because it was all thin. He figured he had a better chance to survive.
Mm. Why on that day was it Orville in the plane and not Wilbur?
Ah, great question. What had happened was they flipped a coin to see who would go first. On December 14th, Wilbur went first, but the plane went down very quickly. So on December 17th, he let his brother go. And on that day, it flew for 12 seconds. But here's the big caveat. They had a big box camera, and that camera snapped that photo, or Orville went up and down. Okay, Wilbur then flew for a full minute. That was the first controlled flight, but because no one took a photo of it, everyone assumes the 12-second flight was, oh, here's the flight that, you know, human flight, the first 12 seconds of human flight. But in fact, the first flight, controlled, and that's the big word, controlled flight, was the 59-second flight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also why history was skewed because of that photo.
Now, Wilbur died in 1912, so there was a few years there for him to tell his story. During that period, were there any indications of Wilbur saying, well, it was really me who thought all this up? Or did he maintain that line of, it was the two of us?
Yeah, no, because here's what's interesting. In the early correspondence, Wilbur said to his father, writing letters to his father, he said, I am going down to Kitty Hawk. I am going to attempt to fly. Which is basically saying, I'm going to go fly to the moon in 1900, 1899. Mm. But after that, the letters are all we. And this is, goes along with the family admonishment to present a united front to the world. We are all equal. But when you read through the letters, you'll see Wilbur sitting there, and he'll disparage Orville because he'll say Orville's work is shoddy and things like this. So it creeps out. And also the bishop even wrote to Wilbur and said, you have to be very careful. Because if you die, Orville cannot carry on. He is nothing compared to you.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So if, and I know this is one of those speculative things, but so if he had lived, if Wilbur had lived, he might well have participated in that authorized biography in the same way as Orville did, by maintaining it was the two of them.
He might have, yes. I mean, here's the thing. That authorized biography by Orville Wright, you know, Orville's name appears like 500 times, Wilbur's like 300. When you read it, you feel like you're reading Orville's biography. It's his version of events, and it was very important to him in 1943 to say, hey, I was 50% of this.
Mm.
And the biographer, Fred Kelly, the agreement was that Orville would get to go over every page, and he threatened to pull the project many times. So poor Fred Kelly, he had to write this thing to Orville's specifications.
William Hazelgrove is the author of Wright Brothers' Wrong Story, How Wilbur Wright Solved the Problem of Manned Flight. William, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
For having me.